a penny slug. Somebody snitched on me.
Oh, I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas, 'cause I ain't been nothing but bad. I put a tack on teacher's chair. Somebody snitched on me. I tied a knot in Susie's hair. Somebody snitched on me. I did a dance on mommy's plants. Climbed a tree and tore my pants. Filled that sugar bowl with ants. Somebody snitched on me. Oh, I'm getting nothing for Christmas.
So you better be good, whatever you do, 'cause if you're bad, I'm warning you.
Well, pre-Merry Christmas to everybody, and welcome to Recovery Radio. Our broadcast is recorded live at the Latah Recovery Center in downtown Moscow. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah Recovery Center, located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affects us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continuing recovery. And we're getting near the end of the month, so if you want to check the calendar for anything that's coming up, please do. You can get it at the website, latahrecoverycenter.org. And also, I'm going to start hawking it now, which is the Latah Recovery Center annual fundraise breakfast / dessert.
Delicious.
Which will be coming up on March 2nd of 2022. I know that's a ways out, but for you people that really plan, mark your calendars and we'll have more information on that coming up. I am Radio Johnny, and I am a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And as always, in the studio with me today is...
I am Denise. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ and so grateful to be in recovery as well and glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here too.
It's good.
I'm glad to be anywhere in this weather.
Yeah, inside is good with some heat. This is good.
Yeah, and today's topic is we're going to talk about Christmas, being as it's just two days away at this point. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to go over, a lot to unpack about Christmas, the pros, the cons, the myths, the miracles, et cetera, et cetera. And I wanted to start out just by reading a little bit about, thank you, Wikipedia, St. Nicholas, the predecessor to our Santa Claus. And it says, St. Nicholas of Myra, traditionally they think born about the 15th of March, 270 AD to 6th of December of 343 AD. Also known as Nicholas of Bari, was an early Christian bishop of Greek descent from the maritime city of Myra in Asia Minor, which is basically modern-day Demre in Turkey, during the time of the Roman Empire. Because of the many miracles attributed to his intercession, he is also known as Nicholas the Wonder Worker. Saint Nicholas is the patron saint of sailors, merchants, archers, repentant thieves, children, brewers, pawnbrokers, unmarried people, and students in various cities and countries around Europe. His reputation evolved among the pious, as was common for early Christian saints, and his legendary habit of secret gift-giving gave rise to the traditional model of Santa Claus, Saint Nick, or Sinterklaas. And pretty amazing, I'm not a Catholic. I was raised in Protestant religion, Lutheranism, which is basically Catholic light, all the pomp and circumstance, but only half the guilt. I know a little bit about saints, and they're kind of a conduit for people here on earth, and there's patron saints for everything you can imagine. This guy, I'm not familiar with the miracles that he, you know, became beatified for and received sainthood, but we all go back to the secret gift giving of children, and that's where we're kind of at today, even though we're in a what I feel is kind of a over commercialized routine for that, where we give children, you know, extravagant gifts. There's a big lead up to it. You can't swing a chair around. I'm trying to avoid saying the other common phrase. Anyone would want to swing a cat anyway, but they don't like it. Just don't like it. You're bombarded constantly with commercial advertisings about, oh, you got to buy the Oculus Quest for your child, you know, for $300, or this game or that game, or expensive Lego sets and all that sort of thing. I remember growing up, my parents, it was a family of four. My dad used to brag that he made in five figures, which is not a lot of money. Even then, it was not a lot of money. And they had, they set limits. It's like, give us a list of what you want, and if we can find something for $25 or less, you might get it. But, you know, don't count on that $70 bicycle or things like that. And honestly, I was happy with everything I got. And it wasn't until later, when I stopped believing in Santa Claus, and I believe this is a thing, when you stop believing in Santa Claus, you get underwear. So as I've grown and turned into adult, turns out underwear is a handy thing. So I don't mind getting underwear for Christmas anymore.
Did you get socks? Because I was going to say this socks, is a good time socks, of year for socks.
Oh, like, yeah. Socks are good. Socks are always good. So anyway, but back to St. Nicholas. So I think it's a great idea, and I think it's good for children to understand more deeply about Santa Claus, other than he's the fat guy at the mall who you go sit on his lap and he smells like whiskey and cigarettes.
Johnny.
Okay. Okay. Maybe I watched.
Okay.
The
Johnny likes to tell his own stories about things sometimes.
Right. Right. It's all in
circling
my mind.
Circling back around.
Circling way back around. So anyway, but it's good for them to understand that the basic Christmas gift was the gift of Jesus to the people of the earth, and that's observed by the Christian religion. Even other religions recognize Jesus as, at a minimum, a great prophet, a miracle worker, and then there's others who don't. In the different sects of the Christian religion, it's generally accepted that Jesus was born and lived and died to relieve the sins of the world. Mm-hmm. Christmas is a celebration of the birth or the beginning of that process. Do you have anything to throw in on that?
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, Advent, you know, the anticipation of his arrival, you know. So we go through the weeks of Advent and the anticipation of his birth. And yeah, and I mean, you know, part, I think, of the gift-giving thing comes along with the wise men, you know, seeing the star, knowing he's coming, and they were bringing him gifts. That's also, I believe, a part of the gift giving for the season as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to get some gold.
Right?
Yeah.
Here you go, little infant baby. Yeah. So, I mean, do you think that was like more for like the parents to be able to survive on? I'm just saying, this thought just came to my mind. Yeah. You know what I mean? Kind of like, okay, here you go. This will help raise him up. Keep him safe, man. Get a house.
I think in a practical
sense. An honor, of course, too.
In a practical sense, that's true. But I also believed in the story, as I recall it. It's been a long time since I've been to a Christian church as a member. But the buzz I got from it is basically these are like the most precious things they could offer.
Right.
You know, worldly precious things they could offer as a just a gift and a celebration of the birth of this. And these were Middle Eastern wise men. Mm-hmm. They were not Jews. Mm-mm. They were not of the Jewish faith. The story of the angel appears to him and says, this is coming, this is going to happen.
And it's a good thing when an angel appears to you that you go ahead and do what they say. That's a good thing.
I'm pretty sure
from all the stories I've heard, that really makes an impression on you after they calm you down from your fear of what they look like.
Right.
And then they talk to you and they're like, hey, it's okay. Like, it's okay. We're not here to harm you. Just listen.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So anyway, there are other beliefs and reasons people celebrate this time of year. It's, there's different secular things. There's Kwanzaa. But there's also the fact that we're going to hit the solstice here in a couple of days,
like the 21st?
Yeah. On the solstice on the 21st, the days start getting longer. And praise we Lord. Start moving out of the dark times mm-hmm. into the more daylight. We're heading towards spring. There's the planting. Mm-hmm. There's the rebirth of the plants and the trees. And we can start growing food again. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of reasons to celebrate this time, even if you're not a Christian, so mm-hmm. to speak. And I know it's a Christian idea, but the idea of family gathering mm-hmm. and being together and, you know, celebrating the year past. I think it's a good way for, you know, people to relate and get together. And pardon the pun, God knows that this last couple of years, Christmas has mm-hmm. been different for a lot of people mm-hmm. because of this insane COVID thing we've been going through.
Right.
So just being brave enough or healthy enough to get together and hug grandma and see your aunties from out of town and all that kind of thing, that's a terrific reason to celebrate this year at least.
Sure.
So much for St. Nicholas and Santa Claus, and you know, we'll probably swing back to the birth of the Christ and what that's all about. But I also want to talk about, for our friends out there who are either new in recovery or thinking about getting into recovery, there's all sorts of opportunities to do the right thing coming up on these holidays.
Sure.
And I know they're hard. I know they're really hard, especially for my brothers and sisters who struggle with alcohol, because it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. If it's not a family tradition, you may run into it at the workplace, although it seems to have calmed down quite a bit. I was talking to a friend whose company has an annual Christmas party for the employees, mm-hmm. and there's usually an open bar and alcohol served. Well, this year they did something different. It was a sit-down dinner, and they all got one drink ticket.
Cool.
And then they were able to go to the bar and buy more if they wanted.
Right.
But the company decided, well, you know, we don't want to put people in a dangerous spot.
Right, because they may go drive, so.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of an interesting thing.
And good.
I can recall going to events where I, you know, when I was sober, where I got drink tickets and I just made a lot of friends. Hey, want a drink ticket? Here you go. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to use it, you know, because mm-hmm. the soda pop's always free. And mm-hmm. yeah, you throw a little, I'm the double D, you know, designated driver in on right. them, and they're more than happy to serve
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Because you're probably going to help the bartender break up a fight at some point, but that's
another story.
Because
you'll be the only sober one there. Yeah, right. Exactly. You're like, hey, it's just me and you, man.
Yeah. I got your back. I got your six. So it's going to be out there. It's going to be everywhere. And so how do you say no, or and how do you prepare yourself? I've talked about this a lot, and I'll say it again. Have a plan. Mm-hmm. If you know you're going to be going somewhere, whether it's an event or just a party at a friend's house or even over the river and through the woods to grandma's, just have a plan of what to do if either the urge to drink hits you mm-hmm. or you just start feeling uncomfortable, because that was my experience. I didn't have an urge to drink. I was very fortunate that early on that urge was lifted somehow, just lifted. And I didn't want to drink, but I got very uncomfortable around large groups of people who were drinking. It just gave me the willies. Mm-hmm. So I came up with a plan. I talk about, you know, I talked to my wife and I said, hey, we're going to this event, because she used to do things to raise money for Children's Hospital down in Oakland, California. And we'd go to these functions, and there was always drinking because it loosens the purse strings. And I would just tell her, hey, if it gets too weird, I'll be out in the car. Mm-hmm. I'll be reading my book or whatever, and when it's time, when I see people starting to file out, I'll come in and help with the cleanup or whatever. And that was cool. I have gone to events, bachelor parties. Ooh, little drinking going on at mm-hmm. those things, mm-hmm. and God knows whatever else. Mm-hmm. But I always drove myself. Mm-hmm. So I knew if things got weird or uncomfortable, jump in the car, you know, politely excuse myself and
That's
go.
That's the plan, yeah.
And that's the thing, too. How do you excuse yourself?
Yeah, it makes me think of early on when, as some of you know, I was in the Latah County Drug Court Program for 2 years, which I graduated from, and I think in 2015. When I first started, we're on probation, and we have a curfew. So you can't really get into a whole lot of trouble when you got a curfew going on.
Right.
So, you know, like work parties and stuff like that. I mean, I was pretty open and honest with everyone about what my situation was. I mean...
Right.
You know?
Anyone who reads the paper or goes online.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like where I work and the friends that I currently had. Everyone knew my situation. And
right.
They were supporting that. So that was kind of good in the sense of, like, can't really run amok when you got to be home by 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock.
Right. Right.
So that's good. But I just think, you know, if you're able to be honest with the people that you're around, if that's something that you can do, that really helps. I think most people respect that. If you're around people that aren't respecting that, then, I mean, in my opinion, if I was around people that weren't respecting what I was trying to do, then maybe I could try to find some different people to be around, honestly. Because, you know, I mean, when you're new in recovery, it's super helpful if you have support around you, people that aren't trying to make it harder. It's hard enough, you know? It doesn't need to be harder. And then I've shared before that early on, there were some people in NA who opened up their home for holidays. And so then again, that was a safe place to go with food, and we would do potlucks, and it was really fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, reaching out to people that are in your small groups, NA, AA, that's good. See what they're doing. What are you doing for the holidays?
Right. And in the event that, you know, maybe you're thinking about recovery, maybe your last few experiences with alcohol or recreational drugs have led you to believe that maybe it's time for a change. You can use these strategies as well. Mm-hmm. Far be it from me to tell you you can't drink. When people tried to do that with me, I ignored them vigorously. Mm-hmm. And it was not what I wanted to hear. It's probably what I needed to hear, but I didn't see it that way. Mm-hmm. So don't get me wrong. If you feel like drinking or partying, you know, have at it. Just be safe about it, as safe as you can be, especially when you're out there driving in winter weather. Oh, my God.
Right.
You can't take it back if somebody gets hurt or, God forbid, mm-hmm. killed in a car accident. But if right. you're thinking about it, you can use these getting sober or stopping whatever, you know, habit you feel is causing you pain. Use these strategies too. You can always, if you're in a place that you need to get out of, you can excuse yourself. Hey, I've got to get up early tomorrow for some work stuff. Or, I'm going to see. I double booked myself tonight, and I need to go see my auntie or my mom or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, a simple excuse, emergencies, a simple little white lie like that, that'll keep you safe. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with it. I have also, on many occasions, waited till the party really got roaring, went over the host and said, I'll be back in a few minutes, and just never came back. And you know what? Nobody missed me. Mm-hmm. Nobody wondered, you know, if I got run over by a reindeer.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever it may be.
Yeah. If you need to do a little white lie.
Johnny got run over by a reindeer walking home from that party Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as reindeer.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I can't help it.
I know.
I don't get out much.
It's like locked in my brain too. Yeah, go ahead and use that. A little white lie is you're not going to burn for that, especially if you're protecting where you are.
Yeah, and then over time, like, I think it gets easier to be able to just be a little bit more, like, matter of fact and honest about
right,
things. Like,
exactly.
Honest about your situation. It's a little awkward at first, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little dicey, but
yeah,
it gets easier.
Right, and a great strategy a friend of mine shared with me is, you know, people will typically ask you, oh, can I get you a drink? What he does is he says, well, just show me where the bar is and I'll set myself up.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, go grab a highball glass and fill it with Coke. And we have somebody ask you, oh, I'm all set.
I love that sparkling, like, apple stuff.
Cider. Oh, yeah,
dude,
yeah.
Dude, so
Martinelli's.
Good.
Martinelli's. Oh, yeah.
Man,
believe
so
it
good.
Or not, that has been a staple at my family's Christmas table since before any of us stopped drinking, just because the kids liked it.
Love it.
It was their version of the champagne everyone else was having. Mm-hmm. And tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
I always keep a couple of bottles around just in case, you know, some sort of celebration breaks out.
So good.
You never know. So those are some of the strategies you can use. You can also just say no.
Yeah.
You can also decline going to a place if you just think it's going to be too dangerous. But that's, you know, that's up to you to decide. It even says in the AA Big Book, we don't shy away from going to places, even bars, taverns, whatever, if we have a good reason to go there. And I've gone to Mingles down the street and shot pool and drank soda with a friend of mine who was a normal temperate drinker.
Yeah, I mean, there's places where you can go listen to music and bands and
exactly, yeah. And a lot of those things happen in those places. So
yeah.
You need not be fearful, but you have to protect your sobriety.
Yeah.
You have to
know where the
limit is.
Right,
for
when
you.
The time is ready, you'll know whether or not you can go to those places or whether or not it's dangerous, you know?
Right, yeah. Right. There's also an old saying in AA that if you hang out at a barber shop long enough, you're probably going to get a haircut. Yeah.
I'm getting a haircut tomorrow.
Oh, good for you.
I'm excited.
Yes. Yeah, it looks so lovely right now.
Thanks.
I don't understand.
I need some trim.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's haircut season.
I don't worry about that.
No.
You can't see Radio Johnny, but the hair on his head is on the bottom of his head.
Right, it's got a beard. It fell out, caught him on his chin.
That's right.
So what do you think of talking about, like, the stressful parts of Christmas?
Oh, I think that's a great idea.
Is that a good idea? Okay.
Yeah, because there is a lot of stress. And
oh, my goodness.
We kind of touched on it a little bit. I'll kick it off and let you run with it, because I know you got some pretty strong ideas about it.
Maybe, I don't know.
back to St. Nicholas. And, you know, like it said in the article there, he had a legendary habit of secret gift giving. And boy, is that a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
My wife and I were having a discussion today about, we have friends that we normally exchange a little something with. You know, not a big deal. And we hadn't talked about it this year. You know, are we exchanging gifts? Do we, you know, sometimes we'll just set a limit, or sometimes we'll just say, hey, no, you know, let's just not do gifts this year. Let's just all go out for a nice dinner somewhere.
Sure. Yeah, that's always fun.
And yeah, and that'll be fun. So there's always like a question mark about it. And that's adults, but kids, that's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. That's your bag.
Yeah. So, man, it's like how to figure out how do you do Christmas and then in January still be able to pay your bills?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of market for like all the things. Okay, so I'm going to try to remember. In one day, the average consumer sees around 4,000 commercial types of things or like brands. Like, right. Like if you go in your closet, you're going to see all these different kinds of brands typically.
Right. Okay. Sure.
Shoes, clothes, different kinds of stuff. When you are scrolling through your phone, when you are driving in your car, when you're listening to the radio. Now, 4,000 is the low end of it because the one that I just read that I shared with in something I taught with at church was 4,000 to 10,000. So we'll just go with the 4,000 a day.
Minimum. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of things that we're exposed to that are about different types of brands or different kinds of things or advertisements. Buy this, listen to this, wear this, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's the aspects of like our saying when we were growing up was keeping up with the Joneses. Even kids, you know, are striving to look a certain way, have certain toys. Their friends are sharing about the things that they have. And I get all that. You know, I mean, it's human. I get that. But it's finding the balance as a parent to be able to get them things that they would like to have and then also be able to come into January and it not be a train wreck. And so I'll just share myself this year. I was able to talk with the girls a little bit about that and we focused on like my teenage daughter's 13. So what do you want when you're 13? You want clothes.
Sure.
I mean, that's what I wanted.
Sure.
And so we focused on clothes with her. And then my 11-year-old is really into art and things like that. We focused on getting our supplies that were more advanced and then some clothes. And then the family, we're going to go see family and they will provide some more like for my 11-year-old, she had some like certain kinds of things that would be fall under more like toys.
Right. And stuff. Sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's hard figuring out how to financially afford things in this particular month along with all the other things that come in the winter. You know, you got to buy snow boots and snow pants and change your tires over and fix the heater in the car and all these different kinds of things. And the electric bill is more. And, you know, there's just a lot. There's a lot of things. And then if you're traveling, there's those traveling costs and not being at work for several days. And
right.
Exactly. I mean, I think I just vented, you know. So, like, so for our listeners, for you who are listening, like, what does that look like for you? And how's there a way to make this time less stressful for you? Because honestly, I think that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as parents or just as adults in a community about the expectations that we put on ourselves. And honestly, when it comes right down to it, can you actually remember the gift that you got, all the gifts that you got for Christmas or even one 5 years ago? Can you remember? Or do you remember the special things that people said or the fact that they invited you into their home or somebody being there for you, just like innately knowing, oh, I need to go help this person or something.
Yeah.
Or baked goods that were gifted. I mean, I work at Anytime Fitness. I clean there. I was cleaning and someone walked up to me and gave me a gift. He was like, this is for you from my family. We appreciate what you're doing. I mean, that was awesome. Total surprise. Just to feel appreciated and things like that is a really nice thing. So there's ways to do things, you know, they're inexpensive that mean a lot.
Right.
So I try to keep that in mind, too.
Right. Absolutely. Folks in my age group, I'm a few years older than you and retired. You know, my wife and I don't have any children, but we've got lots of nieces and nephews, you know, that have come up and grown up. Most all of them are grown now. We're waiting on the
children great, of theirs, huh?
Great grand nieces and nephews to start popping out. And I'm pretty sure that'll happen before too long. But for us, we're in a kind of a different bag because we don't have the stresses necessarily of somebody who's still coming up through the world like yourself. I did my reset and start over 26 years ago. Right. You're 7 years out. Mm-hmm. That's tough. you know, rebuilding from there. But I expect when you get to 66, things will be much different for you,
yeah.
Probably more similar to where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. However, our gift giving has changed. We now support causes rather than giving gifts to children. Mm-hmm. My favorite, of course, is the Latah Recovery Center, mm-hmm. but that's not the only one. We also support the Hope Center here in Moscow for the work that they do, which we think is tremendous, mm-hmm. and the Alternative Giving Market of the Palouse, we support them, which, by the way, you can still make donations to. Go to their website. Yeah, look it up. You'll find it. Anyway, thank you, Google. And we also do what we can when we find people in need around us.
Yeah, that's good.
We were able to babysit for a friend of mine's wife who wanted to take her husband and a couple of her older kids to see a play. And rather than them having to find and pay a babysitter, we said, dump them over here, we'll have a great time. And we did. We made some wreaths using plastic ornaments and coat hangers. Cost us almost nothing. But, you know, there's giving in that way, in that
giving of your time
perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Give of your time. And we all think of it during this time of year, but don't forget that there's the rest of the year too. Like the Christmas dinner giveaway that they did at the Recovery Center last Thursday, they intentionally don't do it on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day because there's a lot of organizations that already do that. And that's wonderful, and you're helping people in need get, you know, something hot to eat that they might not normally be able to get or afford, and then it's over. So if you want to give a gift to yourself, or if you're like my wife and I, who we basically buy whatever we need and mm-hmm. our wants are kind of getting smaller anymore, and so we're fine with that, you know, not spending a lot of money, but we'll gift to ourselves that we're going to go volunteer one day a week at the Hope Center. I do my volunteer work down here. That's a gift. That's a gift you can give to yourself.
You're helping out in community. That's great.
Well, yeah, and that's really the point. Money and toys and gifts are all nice, and they're the right thing to do if you have kids. They have an expectation. Of course, not everybody celebrates Christmas. I was talking with a friend of mine who lived in Japan for several years, and, well, not Christmas, but Thanksgiving is not a thing there.
Right, because that's an American thing.
Right. And Christmas yeah. is kind of a thing, but because it's not a Christian-based country, mm-hmm. it's certainly not as big of a thing as it is here in the United States. And like I said, if you don't celebrate Christmas or you celebrate some other holiday that occurs around here, or you're just happy the days are getting longer, you can still engage in a gift-giving activity by just being there for someone else.
And if all else fails, you can get some stuff, wrap it up, and just distribute it on people's doorsteps, literally, and leave.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I think that's so cool. We've done that a couple of times. It's mm-hmm. fun. It's really fun.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you don't have to know the people. Just go up to the door, leave something there, walk away.
Right, right.
I mean, maybe just like a little gift bag that they can look in and know yeah. that everything's safe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, back to parents, even kids, you know, you talk about, do you remember what you got 5 years ago? I can think of so many times where my friends have bought extravagant gifts for their children and the kids spend more time playing with the box that came in. Don't feel like you gotta spend your way into your kid's heart. Yeah. I think a lot of people do that, and then they end up finding out later that what they wanted was you.
Well, and that I was just thinking right before you said that. So my son just turned 27, and he's not a gift person. He is a quality time person.
Right.
So getting him a gift is really hard. Like really hard. Like there was one year, I think it was for his birthday, I went ahead and got him like something that I would have gotten him like for Christmas, which was like a remote control four-wheel drive kind of car. Like, you know, it wasn't like expensive or anything, but eventually he wound up giving it back. He's like, Mom, I'm just not really going to use this. And I'm like, okay. Sure. And I started kind of like tuning into that. And it was actually his girlfriend who was just like, yeah, you know, he's just really a quality time person. And I was like, okay. So this year for his birthday, I actually got a hold of her and I was like, hey, so do you know anything that Christopher would actually like? And she said it like an expansion to this like game that they play. And he absolutely loved it. But I mean, he's like a minimalist, you know, and that's kind of a thing, I think, for a lot of 20 somethings at this point, from what I can tell anyways. So I was thinking, you know, trying to figure out something that maybe I could either gift him that he could do or something that we could do together, because he's not a stuff person.
Right.
And he's not really like with his clothes. I mean, he kind of likes to pick out his own suits and that kind of stuff. And he doesn't have 5 million different coats and jackets. He's just got like a couple that he loves. So it's different, you know?
Right.
So like figuring out what type of kid, you know, like how do they know? It's like that 5 love languages for your children. How do they know that you love them? And it could be by getting gifts, but it also could be these other things. So
kind
of get to know each other, because you never know. I mean, there's no point in spending a bunch of money if it's not that.
Oh, yeah. This time of year, I have some friends who, on Christmas, they always make it a point of going. There's always snow on a hill somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they get the discs out and the sleds, and they go out and rock the snow for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe then come back and open some gifts. But you know, it's a sort of deal where the gifts aren't really necessarily the whole point.
Right.
It's one of those quality time together things, doing something the kids really enjoy. Back to another personal story. I wanted a BB gun.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think I was maybe 12 years old. Probably old enough to be kind of responsible with it. And my dad firm set against it, but my mom lobbied for me and I wound up getting the BB gun. Well, kind of like when I got a train set when I was 6 years old, my dad ended up playing with the BB gun a whole bunch more than I did.
Yeah.
So make sure when you're getting a gift for your child, that it's actually more for your child.
Yeah.
Unless
see, that's when you re-gift it to someone else or sell it on the internet or something. I was gonna say my 13-year-old, when she was turned 12, she got like a pink shotgun BB gun, and I don't know if we've really used it yet. I remember this last summer when we went camping, I think that my husband brought his BB guns, but I don't think we brought that one, because I was thinking recently that maybe like some kind of therapy like that where you get to shoot things, or you know what I mean? Because it's like that time of year, like the sledding thing's really big at our house. Like the minute that there's enough snow, I mean, even my husband's like, I think I'm calling in sick to work today.
Right.
And the girls are like, I think we're missing school or something, you know? They're just like, we're hitting the sledding hill. Bye. So.
Well, and what's totally wrong with that?
No, I mean,
You know, call in, tell your boss you have an eye problem. Can't see coming to work today.
Yeah.
It's too nice outside.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't work when you're trying to pay off Christmas. But at any rate, you know, getting back to your thousands and thousands of, you know, commercial advertisements, it's really that statistic I had not heard.
And
that is frightening to me.
And that's off of like, I Googled and found like something super reputable.
Right, right.
You know, like one of the companies that actually does the research for things that's like credible.
Oh, yeah. Well, and if you go open your email,
99%
of my email is Bed Bath & Beyond telling me how much they love me and want to give me a $50 off, you know, whatever.
$1,000 that you buy.
Right, exactly. You will be broke tomorrow, and we're going to help.
We're going
you do
to give
that.
You 1% off. Just come buy a bunch of stuff. I'm not bagging on Bed Bath Beyond or Bath and Body Works or whatever. I'm just joking.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's anybody.
I love all those places.
It's Target. It's all of them.
It's a competition for your dollar bill.
That's right.
That's what it is. That's what all these advertisements and commercials are for. They're competing to be like the one that commercial sells you on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's strategies to all these things to try to get your attention.
Right.
I took senior communications when I was a young person, so I know.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
One of the things.
One thing I want to kind of breach on before we close up here is also to talk to the people out there listening right now who may have lost a loved one in this year. Mm-hmm. And you're going into a holiday that you probably spent a lot of time with them. That's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
My experience, I lost my mother. Well, she passed away. I didn't lose her. We didn't actually lose her. She passed away like on December 6th.
Hmm.
So it was right before Christmas. And she had struggled with cancer for not very long, really, only about 4 months before she passed. But that Christmas was really different.
Hmm.
It was really hard. My sisters and I were all adults at that time. I think it was in my early 30s. And my sisters are all 7,
young.
12, and 14 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like we were small children. And it was different, but we made the best of it. We continued on and tried to keep the joy of past memories mm-hmm. there, open and part of the gathering. You know,
right.
Oh, Mom would have thought this was awful,
mm-hmm.
or
right.
Oh, Mom, this, or, you know, Mom would say. And we honored her memory in that way, and that made it a lot better. That made it feel like she was present in mm-hmm. a way.
Yeah.
And it's possible to do that. It's also possible and very reasonable to be grieving someone and really missing them bad.
Absolutely.
And that's okay. But I encourage you to share those feelings with someone else. You keep that sort of thing bottled up inside, it will eat at you forever. And just remember that attached to the Latah Recovery Center here is the Rural Crisis Center Network. And they will help you through those dark times. You can see a counselor if you're in a really, really scary place. You can come in here 24/7 and somebody will come and be here and help you through that really hard time. I mean, these holidays are also a kind of a bellwether for people who commit suicide. And boy, do we not want to see that happen. And people are here. People are here to help. And we want to do it. So remember us if you get into that place in your head.
Also,
don't forget we're here for you.
Yeah, it is the hard times of loneliness in... That's something that's been spoken of at my church as well for some of the sermons. I almost forgot, and I want to jump in and share this, not trying to take away from the importance of what
no,
you're talking
I think,
about.
No, I think enough said there.
Okay. So I just wanted to let the listening audience know that in January, so the first Thursday of January, at Restoration Night at Real Life Church, there will be new classes starting, and I wanted to just read off what those were and to let you know that Restoration Night starts at 6:25 p.m., and we start out just doing some worship songs. It's usually about three songs, and then we go into either a lesson or a testimony or a graduation of, like, one of the classes. So, and then promptly at 7:15 to 8:30, these are some of the classes that you can participate in. Okay, so there's mixed issues. Most of the classes that I'm going to name off are into, like, you know, the women are with the women and the men are with the men. So there's mixed issues that you can join at any time. There's a newcomer group for when you first show up, so you can kind of get the lowdown of what's going on. There's going to be a prayer group, a group that deals with grief. And when I say grief, I mean, like, any kind of loss or hurt. I mean, this can be grief from death, divorce, loss of
losing a
child,
job.
A job, really just anything. I mean, there could have been a fire. You could have lost your house.
Right.
Like any of these kinds of things. Lots of things actually fall under grief and loss.
Sure.
There's divorce care class. Genesis process, something called Welcome Home, which is actually for veterans. And let's see, Blueprint for the Blueprint class. I think, yes, let me see here. Is there going to be a new one? I know that there's one going. I'm not sure if a new one is starting up. Codependency. Oh, and then Step Study. So these classes usually go from 12 weeks all the way up to, like, say, 6 months, depending on which class it is. When you come in, you'll get greeted by somebody. And if you're just not sure where to go, just please let them know that you're new there. Again, this is at Real Life Church, and they can walk you over to the connection table that has the books and the schedules for different kinds of things. Or you can just come in and go into the auditorium and just kind of get a feel for what's going on and check things out. There will be a couple weeks, probably 3 weeks, until the classes would be closed for the quarter, which goes like 3 months, and then different ones start up.
Right.
And some of them continue. But different ones start up. So.
And you can go down there any Thursday night at what time again?
Seven. Yes, 6:25.
6:25.
Yeah.
You can go down there on any Thursday at 6:25 and ask the questions. Somebody there, quite probably Denise, will pull you to the side and tell you what's going on and give you a little deeper description, because you've been through most of those study classes.
And we have over 20 leaders that are there. And so usually you can find somebody that's going to be able to help you. Also, I just want to mention that you can go on to liferotp.com and you can get to the Real Life site and scroll down and you can find Restoration Night. Right. Click on that and then that will show you all the classes. And and if it's a class that's for females, you want to click on the one that's for females. And if you're a man, click on the one for, say you're a man, you can sign up, you can read the description. So
good. Well, that's fantastic. We're running out of time.
Yeah.
It looks like we already ran out of time, but that's a good thing.
I just want to say I hope everyone has a good Christmas, and stay safe, stay healthy.
Yeah, and I too, wishing you all a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays from myself and the Latah Recovery Center.
Absolutely.
And if you need us, we're here, 531 Main Street, Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock in the morning to late at night. Rural Crisis Center, 24/7. Just call the number on the door when you get down here. Mm-hmm. And just remember, if you think you have a problem with drugs or alcohol or mental health issues, you do.
I've got a little Christmas story. I'm sorry, but it's sad. It'll either break your heart in two or make you scratch your head. A few years ago on Christmas Eve, Santa was at our house. He must have been tired because he laid down for a minute on our couch. He jumped up in a hurry, checked all his reindeer. Flew off into the darkness, they was scratching from ear to ear. It was the loudest Christmas we ever had, one we'll never forget. Scratched and itched and combed our hair, and we're not over it yet. Santa Claus don't come to our house anymore, don't care if we're naughty or nice. We're the ones that gave Santa Claus and all his reindeer lice. They's late getting back to the North Pole, it took them 3 or 4 days. They scratched and itched so doggone much they almost lost their way. Santa Claus shaved all his hair off, and he shaved his whiskers too. When he shaved the hair off all the reindeer, Rudolph's nose turned blue. It was the lousiest Christmas we ever had, one we'll never forget. Scratched and itched and combed our hair, we're not over it yet. Santa Claus don't come to our house anymore, don't care if we're naughty or nice. We're the ones that gave Santa Claus and all his reindeer lice. We wrote Santa Claus a letter. He called us on the phone. Said he'd drop our presents in the yard, but he wouldn't come in our home. So every year on Christmas Eve, out in the snow and ice, he drops him presents in the yard, cause he don't want to catch no lice. Was the lousiest Christmas we ever had, one we'll never forget. Scratched and itched and combed our hair, we're not over it yet. Santa Claus don't come to her house anymore, don't care if we're naughty or nice. We're the ones that gave Santa Claus and all his reindeer lice. Now you've heard our Christmas story, I told you it was sad. I know it's about to kill you, so go on and scratch your head.